This is a stupid conversation.
Well, I'll say.
Bonjour, je m'appelle David Il Fait Soleil. Welcome. Welcome to I Get With This. Melrose Place, Season 1, Episode 29. Ah, pas de toi. No, yeah, toi. And now here are your hosts, Star Ariano and Sarah D. Bonding.
I was waiting for the music to
it did.
Come
it
back.
It ended while I was talking.
Oh, that was excellent, Dave.
Mon Dieu.
No merde ici.
Comme si, comme ça.
What would again with this be in French? Encore avec ça, right? I guess.
Why is the French immersion person asking the person that flopped
I don't
grade
know.
Five French?
Hi, Sarah.
Bonjour.
This is our first record in over a month, I think. I watched this episode before Dave and I left on our trip. We went to Kenya, as listeners of the Extra Hot podcast know. I watched this a month ago, so my notes are very detailed. But it's been a while, so we'll see how this goes. Are you ready to talk about pas de trois?
Oui.
All right. Let us start with our B plot. Jo thinks she can defraud the IRS. So it must be April in the show world because Jake is yelling at Jo over a tax return that says the shop owes $8,000, which is everything they have and will mean that they don't get to pay themselves for 2 months. Relatable. Jo has obviously had more time to get used to these facts and is serene as Jake flips out about all the other expenses that they also have to handle on top of the tax bill. Like, welcome to running a business. I don't know what to tell you. You have to pay your taxes. Sorry. Before long, he is accusing Jo of having fucked up the math because she's not a real accountant, which, I mean, this is specifically what accountants are for. So if that's your problem, like, hire an accountant. I don't know why she is doing this, frankly, but she yells at him to go ahead and pay a CPA to tell him the same thing that she just did. So he's out an additional $400 and stomps out. And later still, Jake is backseat driving her paperwork some more, but Jo doesn't give a fuck because she's on her way to the movies. That was my favorite scene of this boring storyline, by the way. He's like, look at this. Yeah. And she's like, bye. Moving on. Some number of days later, Jo goes over to Jake's place with a new tax return indicating $0 owed. She refers to the four bikes they sold in December and says that as far as the IRS is concerned, they will have sold them in the new year. By the way, the episode where they bought the shop aired in February, but sure. She also inflated their travel expenses, even though, as Jake points out, they didn't go anywhere. And he panics that they'll get audited, but Joe's like, months from now, like she's thinking maybe they'll be dead by then. Like, I'm not sure why she thinks deferring this problem solves it, but okay. And he adds that they'll go to jail, but she just tells him he no longer owes any money on his taxes, so problem solved, and wheedles that they will pay it eventually. I'm like, not if she's fully inventing travel expenses, but again, okay. But he's convinced that this is effectively a payment plan and tries to reach for a pen to sign the fraudulent return while she kisses him. But of course, when we return to the storyline, a SWAT team is raiding the complex to arrest Jake in what is obviously a stress dream. And he realizes they still have time to take back their fake return, and then they have to go through this whole stuff with a letter carrier who is emptying the mailbox at midnight, which, where?
Also, but I think you get more time for interfering with the mail than you do for fudging shit on your tax return, but
yeah.
Also, who can, like, these are, like, finale-ish episodes?
Yeah.
What are you guys doing?
Yes. This is another example where, like, clearly someone in the writer's room was like, this isn't 90210. We have to give them grown-up problems. And someone came up with this, and no one else was like, this is boring as hell. So we had to sit through it. Anyway, it's over now, so let's move on, shall we?
Indeed.
To our A plot. On a break from her love triangle, Allison finds out Michael and Kimberly are fucking at D&D. Amanda walks past Allison's desk just as Allison is hanging up a phone call to Amanda's question. Allison says it's about a doctor's appointment, which Amanda snottily assumes is a lie. And they snipe back and forth about it. But then Amanda says she's kidding. She hopes everything's okay. And Allison can't parry because just then Lucy calls them both into her office to announce that she's engaged. Clip two.
I know, it's completely out of the blue, the last thing you'd ever expect.
Well, who is he? Do we know him?
Wait, not the salt and pepper guy, the Clinton Curls?
Yes, Irving Marshall Jr., Marshall and Westell.
Now listen, we're giving a small engagement party. Well, actually, it's a huge engagement party. It's at his family's house, and you both have to be there, of course. Oh, I don't know, everything is so last minute, it's madness, but...
I've never seen you this happy.
I just love the repeated meta commentary about how out of the blue this is and why she's being written off the show. Like,
yeah,
I hope they get rid of you faster than they get rid of Rhonda. Who?
Yeah. I also thought that Lucy said during the first Keith go round that she was married to a boring guy that she settled for after the exciting, like, bad boy that she was dating, who was her Keith analog, but I guess not, or whoever wrote that forgot.
Yeah, or he was too boring and she divorced him also,
right?
I just, like, she is literally speeding through this dialogue designed to, you know, tip us to the fact that she's going to be leaving and Amanda's going to ascend to her position, I assume. Like,
spoiler,
just do it off screen. Like, yeah. do we need to endure this? I don't think we do.
Anyway, Amanda guesses that in addition to being handsome and rich, this dude is also amazing in bed, which Lucy confirms very professionally before we learn that Amanda's question was just a pretext for her to needle Allison. Clip three.
Well, when you know something's right, it's pointless to wait.
Oh, absolutely. With my last boyfriend, Billy, one night in bed with him and I moved him right in. He just had this unbelievable stamina.
Even with an 8 a.m. breakfast meeting in the morning.
Yeah, you just don't let a guy like that get away. Ever.
Anyways, I have to finish this episode of Barney Miller.
Yeah. How dare you insult one of the greatest theme songs of all time by comparing it with this stuff and nonsense.
Yeah, that was the replacement track for the Barney Miller theme, though, was there originally.
I just...
Yeah.
The idea that Amanda would not have boned at least 18 superior dudes or ladies by now is
at the same time. Yeah, ridiculous. Speaking of fucking, at the hospital, Michael is lecturing a bunch of interns when his attention is drawn by Kimberly's legs as she leans over the water fountain and he loses his train of thought. And when he dismisses his students and asks how she is, she says she's also been distracted all morning. They both duck into an elevator where they stare at each other before Michael hits the emergency stop, whiffs off his lab coat, and they start going at it. So irresponsible anywhere, but it's a fucking hospital, you guys. Oh, people need the elevator. You can't take a gurney up the stairs. Come on now.
Well, also, it's a hospital. Are you trying to get a MRSA in your loins? It's really stupid. Like, I cannot think of a place I would less like to bone than a hospital elevator.
That's a really good point, which I had not thought of, which is crazy because we are recording this in the midst of coronavirus. I mean, I guess I can't say fever because that's sort of redundant, but...
Catch it.
Oh, boo.
Not that any of us have it, just that it's, you know, it's a topic of conversation.
But we are recording this in advance, so by the time that's this true. Actually
we
hits
all could
iTunes,
be dead by now.
Might all be, well... You, maybe.
Or affected. Or what? Oh, I'm going to be the first one to die?
Yeah. Ironically, because of all your purchases this week.
I see. Oh, yeah.
Your fortress of retitude.
Sarah, I've been buying quarantine groceries. That's what that's about. And initially, I was going to try and, like, not tell Dave and see if he would notice. And then I bought too much and realized there was no way I could hide it.
Why do we have so many beans?
Like, I don't know that you were visiting your stacks of canned goods and photographing them lovingly from various angles. We've known each other a little while. I'm aware.
Anyway, back in the courtyard that night, Billy is trying to swim laps while Allison paces alongside him bitching about Amanda. Instead of engaging, Billy tells Allison to try relieving her stress by swimming. We also learn about the unbelievably grueling deadlines of his new job. Clip four.
Nancy likes an article a week out of her staff writers. I'll be burnt out in a month.
An article a week. A week.
I mean, that's like Carrie Bradshaw pace. Son, shut it.
Yeah, every blogger is sobbing with laughter right now. Friends, we see you. We hear you. Finally, when it's clear that Allison absolutely will not shut up about Amanda until Billy responds, he says he doesn't know what Allison wants him to do. According to him, it's clear that his relationship with Amanda is over. But Allison says Amanda isn't acting like it's clear to her and still talks about him like he's the love of her life. And Billy says there's nothing he could do about that, which is true. Like, the number of good points Billy makes in this scene and, like, the good boundaries he's maintaining are really putting me off balance, I have to say. But anyway.
Yeah, he's about to sort of ruin it, but in a way that's, like, so of his time that you almost can't blame him.
True.
The other thing is, as we've been saying and will continue to say, like, it's hard to tell whether the writers want us to think that Amanda is doing this to fuck with Allison, which right. would be all the power moves, although sure. kind of too easy.
Mm-hmm.
Or if she genuinely is like, Billy.
Yeah.
Like, him?
Yeah, exactly. So Allison whines that Amanda's punishing her because of what happened between Amanda and Billy, which... nicely absolves Allison herself of all responsibility for her part in the souring of her relationship with Amanda, but fine. And then tells Billy this, clip five.
It's just this insinuation she keeps making that she's this experienced woman and I'm some kind of Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm.
Okay. I mean, this is obvious, like any of us would make this assumption, but like, did this happen in a scene with Ray Pruitt's band? Because I have not seen her do this. Like, it didn't happen on screen, as I can recall.
What, the Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm part?
Yes, that Amanda making those insinuations about Allison, like acting like she's a prude or whatever.
Yeah, no, I think that's come through in their right. interactions, at least the ones that... Like the ones in front of other people.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I didn't have an issue with that not being communicated.
All right, fair enough. So Billy jokes that Allison needs to accept that she's a wholesome woman and that some men are turned on by that, like farmers, but also that negging is just Amanda's way and that she used to undermine his confidence too, which, I guess. So then fucking Billy, as Sarah alluded, decides to interfere, heading to D&D at a time. He knows Allison is at her doctor's appointment to intervene on Allison's behalf, as Allison definitely did not ask him to do. Clip six.
You're driving Allison completely crazy. Every night I hear of the latest torture you've inflicted. You know, if you're punishing her because of me, that's just not fair. If you want to have it out, you and me, fine, let's have it out. But I want Allison left out of this.
This is what she tells you, that I torture her? That's ridiculous. Ask anyone around here.
She says you act like you and I are still going out.
And she tells me that you've been going out with other women. Is that true?
No.
Well, if you want to know the truth, I've been holding her up around here. She's been absolutely brain dead since she broke up with Keith. Distracted, disorganized. And look at her desk. Go look at it. She can barely keep up.
Thank you.
I mean, all of these things can be true, and you can all be shitheads and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats. Well played, everyone.
So Billy notices that Amanda still has a framed photo of himself with her on her desk.
Did he sign it? No, he didn't. You're no Dylan.
You can see this in the visual aids. This is clearly a photo of the two of them, like, by crafty between takes, like,
yes,
on set.
Totally. The flash is so cheap, too. It was like like one of those disposable cameras.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure they're in the parking lot at the skating rink based on their outfits. And, like, you can see, a PA beside them.
No, you're anyway. Totally right.
Amazing. God. So, Amanda... admits that living together didn't work out, but she does miss their friendship and companionship. Like, yeah, Billy is amazing friend, whatever. But instead of responding to that, Billy says he doesn't want Allison to be a victim to the fallout of Billy and Amanda's relationship, and Amanda shoots back that Allison is great at playing the victim, which fucking true.
Yep.
And Billy scolds Amanda, and she backs off, saying she'll be more sensitive, but that Allison is the one with the problems, not her, which, I mean, yes, you kind of both do, but fine.
Yeah.
At the hospital, Allison's doctor tells her everything's fine after her surgery, and on her way to her car, she walks straight past Michael and Kimberly, flagrantly making out in the parking lot. She stops dead and stares, and when Michael comes up for air and hugs Kimberly, he looks over her shoulder and fully makes eye contact with Allison. Like, there's really no mistaking what is going on at all.
Yeah, and it is definitely a challenging look. Like,
for sure.
Welcome to the Michael Mancini we all know and remember. So,
yeah.
Buckle up.
Yep. So, in their apartment later, Billy is gaming out what happens if he goes to Lucy's engagement party. Unclear at this point if he's told Allison that he went to the office to talk about Allison behind her back again. While Allison watches Michael go about his building manager business, Allison asks Billy if he's scared he's going to be tempted by Amanda and claims that if he goes, it'll be Amanda who's uncomfortable, not Allison. Doubtful. But that's the end of it, because then Allison grabs her laundry so she has an excuse to go run into Michael. And he tries to head off a conversation about what she witnessed, but she presses on, and after having a whole day to think of a cover story, here's what he came up with. Clip 7.
Kimberly had a tough morning. I was trying to comfort her. You see, doctors who work in extreme situations tend to become close. Not that I expect you to understand that.
You're having an affair with her, right? Oh,
God, Michael. How could you do this to Jane?
How did Keith do it to his wife?
That was different.
Was it?
You two are the only happy couple I know.
And we'll stay happy. If you don't say anything, you tell Jane, it'll destroy her and us. And you'll have the blood of two marriages on your hands.
I just don't understand why. Why would you risk something so perfect for...
For what? Instant gratification? Guys are like that, Allison. You know, sometimes we need variety. Sometimes we need to feel good about ourselves. Sometimes we can't say no to temptation. Any other questions? Good.
I mean... Okay, this is a shitty cover story, but I kind of love that he knows that she's such a beige whiner that he could actually not have an excuse and just dare her to tell Jane, and right. He can probably skate on it for a while, and he's not wrong. But she is so annoying in this scene. You're the most perfect advantage. Oh my God, please find another register for your voice, please.
Yeah, seriously. But also, I mean, I have to give him credit for bringing up, like, well, you cheated with a married guy, which, you know what? She did fool around with Keith. So great point. Like, she's not innocent either. I mean, it's a little bit of whataboutism, but it also is enough he has to know to make her, you know, shut up a bit and question whether she should say anything.
Yeah. So well played, Mancini, I guess.
Yeah. At work, Jane is haranguing her colleagues about subpar work while Kay, her boss, watches and dryly notes how much of herself she sees in Jane, adding that that's not a compliment and that Jane needs to relax. She orders her out to lunch with Michael, whom she's sure Jane has been neglecting, and Jane tightly says Michael's been just as busy, so Kay escalates her order to renting a motel room. But when Jane goes to the hospital to get Michael, she learns he's already out to lunch himself at a place down the street. And I guess they have to leave their destination in case of emergency, like, even though beepers, whatever, the past, yeah. Who cares? Of course, he is at lunch with Kimberly, totally unaffected by Allison's attempt to confront him the night before. But then Kimberly looks over his shoulder and sees Jane at the maitre d' stand asking for him. And she gets nervous, but Michael's smooth as fucking silk, sauntering over to greet Jane, chill as hell, and Kimberly's face falls when she sees how easy this is for him. And he invites Jane to join them as he claims they're celebrating two successful appendectomies in a row, and then brags about the line of swimwear that Jane has coming out. Jane cheerfully offers to send a sample to Kimberly, who suddenly remembers that she has to get back to the hospital and that Jane can have her entree. And when she's gone, Jane leans in to tell Michael she sometimes thinks Kimberly has no life of her own, and Michael readily agrees and disloyally clinks on it without a single thought, because he's a piece of shit. At the engagement party, Billy mutters to Allison that he was expecting Lucy's fiance to be more handsome and debonair, when in fact the guy is perfectly attractive. He just has gray hair. Like, I don't know where this is coming from, frankly.
Yeah, he's like poor man's Titus Welliver. He's fine.
Yes.
At least he can keep his mouth closed while breathing. Not like some people.
I mean, fair. Then Lucy negs Billy by saying she can never remember his name. Lucy and Irving, her fiance, move on to mingle just as Amanda enters the party in a sequined dress, and the three of them, her and Billy and Allison, meet up at the bar. Amanda insincerely compliments Allison's boring black dress. Billy, of course, likes Amanda's, and for someone who claims the animosity between them is entirely on Amanda's part, Allison sure wastes no time going in on Amanda. Clip 8.
Where's your date, Amanda?
Oh, it was so last minute, I couldn't find anyone. Pitiful, huh?
Amanda, you want to dance?
Later.
It's just some rando.
Queen. Queen.
The best. Amanda starts probing as to how Billy has come to be Allison's date and whether anything is actually going on between them. Allison says he had nothing to do. Billy mentions that he's starving, but Amanda suggests a dance for old time's sake. Allison doesn't mind, does she? Of course not. Off they go. And on the dance floor, Amanda comments on what a good fit she and Billy are, while Lucy finds Allison at the bar and asks her what the deal is with Billy. Allison dodges, and Lucy says she should have guessed Allison and Amanda's beef was about a dude. And Allison denies it before Lucy gets pulled away again. Elsewhere, Amanda's saying straight up she misses Billy and regrets how things ended between them. Lady, look in the mirror. Look at you. Look at him. Please stop this. Please.
Seriously. Truly. Get a life. You live in a major city. This is not some dystopian future where there's only one dude who is Mongo. Please. Please fall on some other dick immediately.
Fall on some other anything. Honestly, at this point, like, doesn't have to be a dick. Like,
no, it doesn't.
Anyway, she's pretty sure he misses her too and asks him not to shut her out of their friendship. He doesn't intend to, he says. So she steps forward and starts kissing on her friend just as Allison runs up to witness it, gasps in disbelief that this keeps happening to her, and takes off home. Billy running after her and Amanda looking smug as hell, which you can obviously see in the visual aids. And apparently, Billy and Allison fought all the way home about whether he should also leave, and still are, as they walk up to their front door. Sounding amused, as usual, because Andrew Shue is not a good actor, Billy denies that he even wanted to kiss Amanda, in which case he doesn't know what Allison is throwing a fit about. Since she's not ready to say that she likes Billy, she claims it's about Michael and tells him about the affair, swearing him to secrecy. Billy, having no reaction to the Michael gossip improbably, claims he's not a pig like Michael, and they discuss that in clip 9.
I'm not so unfeeling that I've just fallen to bed with some woman I'm not in love with. I mean, I know how to say no. Look at our relationship, yours and mine. I've been sleeping in the room next to you all this time, and not once have I acted on my temptations.
If either one of us had temptations, don't you think one of us would have acted on them by now?
Yeah, you'd think so.
All this time.
Guys, so Allison declares this a stupid conversation and stomps off to her room, presumably to masturbate furiously.
Oh. Ugh.
At the hospital the next day, Michael follows Kimberly into a supply room where she breathlessly tells him she can't go on like this, and all she's thought about since lunch yesterday is Jane. That makes one of them. Michael's like, she has nothing to do with us, and Kimberly hisses that he's married to Jane. Michael then agrees that they shouldn't have let the infidelity happen. Very funny way of putting it, like neither of them made any affirmative choices. It just fell on them. But it did, and now he can't think about stopping it, and Kimberly stomps out of the conversation. At D&D, Allison stops Amanda on her way to a meeting to try to, whatever this is, clip 10.
Won't work, that's all. What you doing? You think you can just smile, steal a kiss here and there, play on whatever it is you had before?
Great sex. That's what we had before. And you're wrong when you say I think I can do it. because I know I can. I understand men, Allison.
Well, last night he came home with me.
And what did you do once you got home?
I got a good dose of what he thinks of you.
Well, you need a good dose of something, but it sure isn't talk. And as far as Billy's concerned, he's as red-blooded as the next guy.
You're wrong, Amanda. Billy's different. He's special.
My God. You're in love with him. How sad. Everyone out there is getting what they want. Everyone except Allison.
Woodward. Woodward.
Woodward. Oh, my God. Best. Best. That's, I love that in every version of this conversation, and they're married just in this next, like this episode and the next one, that Allison's like, oh, I've got her this time. And then Amanda just like effortlessly parries and carves her up. Like, yep. It's really a pleasure to watch a professional at work. I will also add that, yes, Billy is special, but not in the way that you mean.
Speaking of Billy, at home that night, Billy is writing shirtless for no reason. Like, he's just sitting at his computer, shirtless. Allison on the futon tries not to stare at him, and the camera slides over him lasciviously. Like, it's so horny, this whole scene. Billy then suddenly says he can't stare at his work any longer, grabs his shirt and asks if he wants to go to Shooters with him, and she's too horny to get up. That's not what she says, but that is the truth, in my opinion. Speaking of horny, at the Mancini's, Jane is back in the pirate shirt as she tries to make Michael commit to boning her after dinner. He briskly says she has a deadline to meet, so he's going to leave her to it and go out for some air. And thus is it that Michael and Billy run into each other at Shooters. Billy tells Michael how hard Amanda is hitting on him and wonders if he should just satisfy the need and worry about the consequences later. Surprisingly subtle work for Billy, but Michael doesn't bite. Clip 11.
Well, maybe you should stop drinking so much coffee at work.
What can I say? I'm a dumper. You know, some people, they bottle things up. I dump.
Well, that's what coffee is good for.
Yeah, it is. Oh my God.
Sorry. Billy continues needling Michael about the possibility of someone finding out about Billy's hypothetical indiscretion with Amanda. And finally, Michael guesses that Allison told Billy what she saw and tells him to mind his own business and stomps out. Allison, meanwhile, has gone over to Joe's to bitch about how her life has fallen apart since her return from Seattle and admitting that she's thinking about trying to move things forward with Billy, except that Amanda is in the way. Joe tells her not to worry about Amanda, so Allison pivots to, what else, whining that Amanda is right. Allison doesn't know how to pursue a guy. Joe thinks Allison and Billy would make a great couple. Joe, no! But Allison is encouraged by this and announces that she's going back to her place to meet Billy when he returns from Shooters and see what happens. But she doesn't know that he's already returned and is listening to Amanda's latest message. And as soon as Allison has walked in, Billy says he's going out for a while and rushes past her, whereupon, when she's alone, Allison plays the message, which is Amanda sounding tearful as she asks Billy to come over to their place. Whoops, her place. Ugh. Which, of course, is where he goes, finding Amanda in a satin robe, pretending to be heartbroken and confused because she's never felt this way. She used to be happy living alone, but ever since Billy moved out, she knows what she's been missing, and she hugs him, and he lets her, and then she kisses him, and he lets her do that too, soon reaching for her robe. And she suggests they go to bed, and we go to act out not knowing what he's going to do. But when we see him next, he's back home, waking up Allison in the middle of the night to tell her it's not true what she said about guys. They don't always let their libidos call the shots. And Allison side-eyes him as she says she knows where he was. He doesn't deny where he went or why, but says that despite the temptation, nothing happened. He's not the same as Michael or as her image of most other guys. But since he was gone for 3 hours and since Amanda is very sexy, Allison does not believe him, which, you know what? Reasonable. I wouldn't either. But he's insulted that after everything they've been through, Allison really thinks that he would lie to her. He's there now because he doesn't have anyone else to talk to. And when she just stares back, he tells her to believe whatever she wants and stomps out. And the next day, Jane calls Michael at the hospital, only to find he's not even scheduled to work that day. She will leave no message. Michael is, in fact, at the beach with Kimberly, who says she's listening to her poor old buried heart and choosing to be with him in whatever way she can get him for however long she can have him, no strings attached, and he is smug as hell, which you can see in the visual aids. He doesn't say any... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just laughing.
Oh. He doesn't say anything, so she has to order him to kiss her, and they do a From Here to Eternity. And at D&D, Amanda resumes her psychological warfare in clip 12.
So tell me something. Was Billy as exhausted as I was this morning?
Not at all. Not this morning and not last night when he woke me up.
Woke you up?
Just tell me about your attempt to seduce him and how he said no.
He told you that?
Mm-hmm. Right before he told me what he thinks of your tactics.
You honestly think he'd tell you what really happened?
Yes, I do.
You don't have a clue.
Amanda! It's not working. I believe him. If I didn't last night, I sure as hell do now. Call it what you will, but what Billy and I have is more than you'll ever have with him.
You know something, Allison? You two may have had a chance at one point, but whatever chance that was, it disappeared a long time ago.
Hard to pick a winner here, given that you're fighting again over Billy.
Billy.
It's Billy. Guys.
Billy.
Oblivious, Michael comes home talking about his busy day at work and barely registers Jane sitting in the dark as he asks her to open a bottle of wine while he gets in the shower. And when she hears the water, she goes rifling through his pockets and then pours sand out of his shoe onto her own floor like an idiot.
I'm glad you also noticed that. I was like, are you going to get the dustbuster or what?
So dumb. So then Billy comes wandering home from wherever to find Allison standing in a doorway in a chambray button down and nothing else, waiting to make a speech in our final clip.
I am so sorry for doubting you last night. I was crazy not to believe you. As much of a liar as Amanda is, everything she said about me is true. I am too scared to go after what I want. I am too timid, too self-absorbed. Too afraid of being hurt. Too damn blind to appreciate what's right in front of me.
That's them kissing, guys. The best part of this is that when they pull apart, he just stares at her for a second, and his face is completely inscrutable because Andrew Hsu is so bad at acting. Like, whatever emotion he's trying to convey, it's impossible to tell. Like, it's just completely blank, his face. It's really remarkable.
My notes read, like, this is someone who is trying to determine which flavor is dominant in Sprite, lemon or lime. Like, he's yeah. interested in the answer to the mm-hmm. question, but mm-hmm. it's like literally there's nothing else going on in his mind.
So Allison, frustrated, just says goodnight and takes off. And that is where we leave them for now. Let us close up by naming our episode MVP. I hesitate to say this. This is going to be controversial. I'm going to say Allison because she finally got off the fucking pot and made a move. And that takes guts and good for her, despite being a drip and a whiner for the previous 28 episodes.
I also have an avant-garde approach to this section of our podcast. So I'm going to say Amanda because she's Amanda.
Sure. Fair enough. Least valuable player.
Also, Amanda, it's fucking Billy.
Yeah, that's a great pick. I can't really argue with that. And yet I'm going to say Michael because, wow, he's a very bad man. He's fun to watch. He's a bad person, though.
Yeah. He's very bad, but he's very good at it. Next time on Again With This, first the infernal tootling, then the consummation of Billison. We encourage you to clear your local drugstore shelves, not of masks, but of Visine and Pepto-Bismol before enjoying our visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This. Those are on our website at againwiththispodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at AWT90210, and you can support our Patreon at patreon.com/againwiththis, where any level of support gets you extra episodes. I'm a dumper. My name is Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is 1 month burnout, Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is David T. Cole of Sunnybrook Farm. Talk to you next time.